Well, let's turn to this passage that we read from 1 Samuel chapter 20. And we're thinking tonight of this friendship between David and Jonathan. I wonder, you might smile at that. No, I don't subscribe to the people's friend. Not that there's too much wrong with it, I might say, but some of you may well subscribe to the people's friend. And of course, the young people will be saying, oh, definitely not. But anyway, the people's friend, some of you may know, has been around for a very, very long time. Apparently since 1869, so there you are, and it's liked by some, maybe of a certain generation. Friendship is a very, very important word, and you may know the text from Proverbs. It's easy to remember. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. It says, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. And I'm sure you've discovered that in life. And maybe discovered those who thought they were your friend didn't turn out to be much of a friend after all. And maybe those who you didn't even think were a friend turned out to be one of your best friends. So life is a bit like that. Well, that introduction is because of in 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we're doing this study on the life of David. We have already discovered this almost unexpected friendship that has developed between David, the farmer's son, the shepherd boy, who gained a kind of celebrity status when he defeated the giant Goliath, and his friendship with the crown prince, Jonathan, the son of the king, the son of King Saul. Make no mistake about it, it was an unexpected friendship. It was not something that people would really have expected to happen. For reasons that we've already touched on. If you want to just remind yourself of some of the background of this, I'm not going to spend really a lot of time on this, but if you were to glance back to chapter 18, you will see something of the beginnings of this friendship. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And he loved him as himself. It's a very interesting use of language that even from that day, there was something between David and Jonathan. There was a deep friendship. There was even more than that. There was a deep sense, a deep bond. And there was a love in the best sense of that word, I believe, between these two. Chapter 18 and verse 3 tells us about the covenant that we're going to be thinking about tonight again. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And verse 4, Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. What a remarkable thing for the heir to the throne, the crown prince Jonathan, to take off his stuff and give it to this boy who not that long ago had been a shepherd boy out in the fields. So there's something remarkable going on here. Chapter 18, again, just we read there, we've looked at it before. Jonathan intervenes, first seven verses. He intervenes on behalf of David. We've studied and we've seen how Jonathan may have liked David, but Jonathan's father, Saul, who really, it does seem, had some issues and emotional issues and maybe challenging mood swings and all that kind of thing. And he was definitely filled with envy and jealousy towards David. Some days he liked David, and other days he wanted to kill David. So in the midst of all of that, again, chapter 19 tells us in the first number of verses of how Jonathan sort of intercedes for David and intervenes on his behalf. And when we come to chapter 20, it is really a continuation of this story, of this story of this friendship between Jonathan and David. This wonderful story. But what is the common thread that's running through chapter 20? Yes, it is about a friendship, but it is actually deeper than that. I want to suggest this evening that it is very much the theme of covenant. And that is a word that I'm going to be picking up on. And what I wish to do just in the time that I have is to draw out this covenant theme and then see how that points us to another covenant, which is really the gospel, because we believe that the gospel is not just something we discover when we read Matthew chapter 1. The gospel is there right from Genesis chapter 1. So the whole of the Bible is about the gospel. The whole of the Bible is about God's covenant and God's covenantal love towards sinners. So what can we say about this covenant friendship? That's really what I've called it, if you like. That's the title for tonight, a covenant friendship. And I just want to draw to your attention some of the things that this covenant friendship brought. And the first thing I want you to notice is that the covenant brought a refuge. It brought a place of safety. What do I mean by that? Well, basically, the first few verses of chapter 20 tell us again of how David and Jonathan talk to each other. David is very concerned. His life is literally in great danger. Never forget that. David's life is in real danger here. And he knows that. He's really now on the run from Saul, a theme that's going to continue. And he's talking here with Jonathan. Jonathan, for example, verse 2, is trying to say to him, look, David, you're not going to die. If my father's going to do something, he'll talk to me first, etc., etc. David's not entirely convinced. And the heart of this introduction really is seen in verses 7 and 8. Just look at verses 7 and 8 just for a moment. If he says, very well, then your servant is safe. But if he, that's Saul, if he loses his temper, you can be sure he's determined to harm me. Verse 8, this is an important verse. As for you, show kindness to your servant, for you have brought him into a covenant with you before the Lord. If I'm guilty, then kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father? Folks, just look at the language there that's used. Verse 8, David says, as for you, Jonathan, show kindness to me, for you've brought me into a covenant with you before the Lord. Now, what's this teaching us? It's teaching us something very, very basic and simple at one level. Here is David. David is now in a dangerous situation. David is on the run from the king. What options does David have? Who can he turn to? There's not too many people that he can turn to in this dangerous situation. He turns to Jonathan and he says, Jonathan, this covenant that we've entered into, this is going to be, if you like, my salvation. My place of refuge, my strong tower, my place of safety. And that's simply what I mean when I say that this covenant friendship between Jonathan and David, it brought a refuge for David. It was literally a safe place. The relationship that they entered into was going to be a place that was going to be a refuge to David. So that's the first thing I want you to notice. But there's something else here. The covenant also brought what I would call a steadfast love. And again, I'm just still on verse 8. And I'm going to pick up on another piece of this. It says in verse 8, I'm reading in NIV, as for you, show kindness to your servant. You may be reading an authorized version or an ESV, in which case it will say, deal kindly. Now, here's the thing, and it's an interesting thing, and if you're a believer, this will be of interest to you. The word that's used there, and we're not going to make this complicated, but it's a particular word. It's a word, hesed. I don't have it on the screen. It's spelt in the English, if you like, H-E-S-E-D, hesed. And it's a very important word in the Bible. I remember, I'm sure Stuart is the same. I remember at college in my Old Testament classes being taught about this word. It's an important word. It's not just any old word. And it's a word that carries the idea of a love and a steadfast love, a loyalty, a reliability, a faithfulness. It's a really strong word. And it's significant that it's used here. David says, show kindness to me, Jonathan. Show a steadfast love to me, Jonathan. Show a faithfulness to me. Show a loyalty to me that's really going to help me through this. The same term is actually used, if you want to glance down the text to verse 14. It's the very same word. Verse 14, but show me unfailing kindness, like that of the Lord, as long as I live. And the other thing about this steadfast love that we might say, and I've already touched on this, is that it was an unexpected thing. It was almost an unusual thing. An uncommon thing, an extraordinary thing, a remarkable thing. It's not what was expected. And it all stemmed from this covenant that they had entered into. This special friendship, this special relationship. Sometimes we sing the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, but we'll come to that. So this covenant friendship, it brought a refuge, it brought a steadfast love. But there's something else here. It brought a cost. Now, verses 18 and following, and I'm going to read a wee bit of it in a moment, so because we didn't actually read it earlier. Basically, from verse 18 on, it describes the plan that Jonathan and David made. Remember the story? There's going to be a feast. And David is saying, Jonathan, I'm not going to be at this feast for obvious reasons. I'm in danger of my life. If I go to that feast, I'm going to get killed. So I'm not going to be there. And he's going to go and hide in a certain place. And the arrangement is that Jonathan will go to that place, and through a particular arrangement of shooting arrows, a message is going to be sent to David as to whether it's safe or whether it's not safe. If you want to, let's read. If you've got your Bible, let's read what, in essence, we're told what this message is. Verse 20. Okay, well, let me begin at verse 19. So here's the plan. The day after tomorrow, toward evening, go to the place where you hid when this trouble began and wait by the stone easel. So here's a place to hide. David's going to be at the stone. Verse 20. I will shoot three arrows to the side of it as though I were shooting at a target. Then I will send a boy and say, go and find the arrows. If I say to him, look, the arrows are on this side of you, bring them here, then come, because as surely as the Lord lives, you're safe. There's no danger. But if I say to the boy, look, the arrows are beyond you, then you must go, because the Lord has sent you away. So do you get that? Simple little plan. David's going to hide in a particular place. Jonathan's going to go out and have some arrow practice. He's going to shoot a few arrows. And if he shoots the arrows and they land on the near side of the stone, and he shouts at the little boy, bring them to me. David, you come to me. Everything's okay. But if he shouts, the arrows have gone beyond the stone, go further, that's the signal, David. You're not safe. You need to get away from here. Verses 24 to 34, I'm just summarizing this very quickly, describes the meal. Jonathan intervenes on behalf of David. Saul doesn't take it very well. His anger flares up, and he even throws a spear at his son, Jonathan. Saul is furious, and just to get a flavor, notice what he yells at Jonathan in verse 30 and 31. If you've got your Bible, just look at that for a moment. It's helpful just to get a flavor of the story. Verse 30, Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you've sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame, to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he must die. Now there's something of great significance, and here's the cost. And in one sense, Saul was recognizing, in the midst of his anger and his mental problems, Saul says to Jonathan, Jonathan, do you not see that as long as that man lives, your kingdom is not going to be established? Because he's your enemy. He's the person who's going to usurp you. You're not safe while David's alive, so he needs to die. And there's a sense in which Jonathan, or Saul, recognizes this cost. And yet, here's the point, folks, that the covenant friendship, and it's a very moving thing, the friendship that Jonathan had with David meant more to him than even all of these things. We might even say it meant more to him than his kingdom. And in that, there was a cost. That's why I'm saying it was an unusual thing for this friendship between Jonathan and David. David was the rising star. And from a human point of view, he was really going to be in the position to challenge Jonathan. And yet, Jonathan doesn't look at it like that. Such is the friendship. There was a cost to this friendship, but Jonathan carries on. And the other thing, the fourth thing I want to draw to your attention is that the covenant brought a peace. The last section from verse 35 on describes the meeting between Jonathan and David. The arrows are shot. The signal is sent. Verse 38, go quickly, don't stop. There's a lovely little picture. Jonathan is saying that to the little boy who's dispatched to get the arrows, but he's not really talking to the little boy. He's talking to David. David, go quickly. Don't stop. It's not safe. Go. The boy picks up the arrows and brings them back to Jonathan, and then the little boy is sent off home. Verse 40. And then we have, and I want to read it, this I think there's an awful lot of emotion in this verse, verse 41. Let me read it to you, with you. 1 Samuel 20, verse 41. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. And then they kissed each other and they wept together. But David wept the most. I'm sure there's a sermon there. Why did David weep the most? And in the midst of this emotion, verse 42, Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between my descendants and your descendants forever.'" Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. It's interesting, this mention of peace. This friendship was a very, very deep friendship, and we can't maybe fully understand the depths of it. But it was a godly friendship. It was a covenant friendship. And it brought peace as well. Now, folks, I can't just finish the sermon there, because in one sense it would just be almost a rehearsing of a Bible history lesson, which is fine insofar as it goes. But that's not what ministers do. They have to go further than that. And I just want to... I'm just going to put all of these up, because I just want to leave you with this overarching thought that this chapter is also a gospel chapter. And this is what the gospel brings. The gospel, if you like, is a covenant friendship that brings refuge and a steadfast love, and yes, a cost, but also a peace. And I'm not going to say a whole lot about these, but I love that hymn. I know it's loved by some of you as well. "Jesus, lover of my soul." If you know that hymn, you remember the words, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing." And it's a lovely picture of the gospel and the refuge that we have in Jesus. God is our refuge and our strength. And so think about this, folks, in the same way that friendship, that covenant friendship between David and Jonathan brought a refuge for David. This covenant friendship that we have with Jesus, and every time we gather here on the table, the Lord's table, every time we gather around the Lord's table, you think about this covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you eat this and whenever you drink this, you remember the Lord's death until he comes. So this is not just a story about David and Jonathan. It's a story that points us to a bigger story, the gospel story. And in the gospel story, there is this amazing, steadfast love. And sometimes we do sing that little hymn with the chorus, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." Think about this. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Brother and sister in Christ, think about that. Maybe you're going through a challenging time. Think about the refuge that you have in this world because you have Jesus. Think about the fact that every single morning that you waken up, and even on these cold, dark, wet December mornings, which some people maybe don't like, but the steadfast love of the Lord is still available on a cold, dark, wet December morning. Which is a lovely thought. It's a wonderful thought. And the gospel also brings a cost. Ultimately, of course, It was a supreme cost to Jesus when he gave of himself for our salvation, when he bled and died for sinners, the ultimate cost. The covenant, this new covenant, this is the new covenant in my blood, my blood. It's no easy covenant. It was no easy covenant for Jonathan, but on a far greater scale, it was no easy covenant for Jesus. And in the same way that there was a cost for Jonathan and his ambition, his kingdom, his desire, he still wanted this friendship with David. And you know, for the Christian, every other kingdom, if you like, every other issue must always give way to Jesus. That's why I've put up that symbol, Jesus is Lord. That's such an important principle of the gospel. Everything comes under Christ. Everything comes under Christ. Every association, every friendship, everything, absolutely everything must come under his lordship. And that's always a cost. If you want to follow me, said Jesus, you need to take up your cross and follow me. If you want to save your life, you need to lose it first of all. Those who try to hang on to it will lose it, but those who lose it for me will save it. And ultimately, there's a peace. And folks, I leave you with this. This is a wonderful thought. Every single one of us here tonight, some issue maybe in the family, some issue in your own personal life, maybe some problem, maybe some worry, some anxiety, maybe some illness, maybe some uncertainty about whatever it is. But here's the wonderful thing, that when you have this relationship with Jesus, and when you're in this covenant, if I can use that language, when you found your refuge in him, when you found this steadfast love, even it's costly, there's a wonderful peace. A wonderful peace. You know, we live in a world and it's full of trouble and strife and uncertainty. And you know, you'll watch the news this week and nationally and internationally, there'll be all sorts of stuff going on, and you might say, goodness gracious, where's this all going to end? That's the world. But when you have Jesus in your heart by faith, he gives a peace. That's what Nigel was preaching about last Sunday night. Peace. Be still. Be still. Peace. I'm not saying that all your problems will disappear. I'm not saying that all your struggles will disappear overnight. I'm not saying that at all. But in the midst of all of those things, you will know that you're at peace with God. You can say all is well with my soul. And I finish with these words, wonderful words. I love one of my favorite texts, John 16 and 33. I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome. And when you're in him, you're safe. You're safe. Come what may. Make sure you're in him tonight. Throw yourself on him for life, for death, and for eternity. And you'll be safe in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this covenant friendship, but Lord, at a far bigger level, we thank you for this new covenant friendship in the blood of Christ. Oh, Lord, may we know that refuge, that steadfast love. Yes, the cost, the challenge, but may we know the peace. Lord, fill us with your peace tonight. May we go from this place saying, yes, that problem's still there, but Lord, I've got your peace. Lord, give us that peace and that joy of which we sing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing about that peace and indeed maybe particularly that joy and how the joy dawned. Joy has dawned upon the world, promised from creation. We stand as the music leads us.